It's 3 minutes after 6, and so I'd like to call the Historic Preservation Committee meeting for Wednesday, July 22nd, 2015, to order. The first order of business here is our roll call. Pascoe?
Here.
Fredericks?
Here.
Metzler?
Here.
Kornowski?
Here.
Kier is excused, and Rupp is here, so we have a quorum. In case you don't know, Barb Copperwood has resigned from this committee.
Right.
Yeah. So we have another agenda item here too. She was the vice chair, so we'll have that process. And item number three. Next item number two to modify or adapt our agenda. Any changes? Trevor, do you know of anything that needs to be on here that's not?
No.
Nope. Okay, I guess I'll entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
We have a motion?
I'll second it.
We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number three, election of a vice chairperson. Again, as I was saying, Barb has resigned her position on this committee, and she was the vice chair. So we need to open the nominations here to nominate a chairperson for the remainder of the year, which I guess is from now until next April, May, pretty much. Yeah. So. I'll open the nominations and I'll accept any, or we'll discuss. Anybody have a nomination? I'll nominate Wes Kornowski as vice chair.
Am I allowed to talk right now?
I
would accept. I mean, the only issue is my travel schedule is that occasionally I leave a lot on Wednesdays. So I certainly would accept the nomination, just however with that caveat that last meeting it was an issue that I was out of town. So
yeah,
that's the only problem.
If history is any indication, I'll be here most of the time. I don't need to, you know. It's what happens when you're retired, right?
Okay.
Except for vacations, and they're not scheduled during this time of the year.
Sure.
During this time of the month. So with that in mind, you know, I'd be looking for a second.
I'd second that.
We have a motion and a second for Wes Kornowski to be our vice chair. Any discussions? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number four, approve the minutes from our June 24th, 2015 meeting. Has everybody had a chance to look at the minutes? I didn't see anything, but then I may have missed something, so. There are no changes or questions, I guess I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion.
I'll second it.
And we have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number five, announcements. Any announcements from village staff?
Just wanted to let everyone know that the two buildings that we are currently working on, the water department building and the Pumphouse on Green Avenue. And the agenda has come out, and they are on it for the next Historic Preservation Review Board. I think I mentioned before the meeting was scheduled for August 28th, but the details of that meeting is going to be at the Pyle Center in Madison, and the meeting will begin at 9:30. So.
And I have their their agenda that I received in the mail, and it looks like the meetings for individual nominations will be from 11 to 12 during that time, so I don't know how they are in terms of keeping their agenda times. But so sometime late morning, I guess. Trevor, do we need to have this in the public record, or is it because you just discussed it with us?
As far as the letter received? Or
yeah. Is there any reason why I need to read this into the record?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think you should be fine.
Good. Thank you. Any other announcements?
Just a reminder about the farmer's market. Growing, you know, to 26 vendors.
Wow.
Pretty big. Hopefully the weather cooperated last week, but it didn't look like it was going to. So I think that scared a few people away, but hopefully we have another sunny day tomorrow. So.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice event. I've been to the first two, and the birds and the rabbits are eating all of our produce from our garden, so we'll be hopefully the guy's still there who's selling all the good produce, you know, the good tomatoes, and you know, they found our green beans, so we'll be buying green beans tomorrow. Thank you.
What are those hours again, Trevor?
That's from 4 to 7.
We're up to two food vendor trucks that will be here. Combination of Thai food, and the other ones, cheese curds, kettle corn, hot dogs, and hamburgers, I think.
And brats.
That's an incentive right there. I'll be there for the brats. Any announcements from the committee? Hearing none?
Sorry. I was just going to... I don't know to whom was able to make the open house dedication on July 11th, but just talking with some of the staff, I was there, and I saw Jim there. You were on the other side, but they were a little disappointed in the numbers that actually showed up, but it was certainly a nice event. I think we spent 4 hours there. It's just a really unique spot to have in our village, so.
I was there. It was a nice event. I think it was kind of warm. It's kind of hot.
Warm.
That might have, you know, scared a few people off, because I know it was pretty hot. But it was kind of neat to see them raise the flag, you know, with how many stars? 25 or 26?
26,
right? The number of states that we had in 1836. Yeah. It was pretty neat. If there are no other announcements, we'll move on to item number 6, public appearances.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'd just like to encourage this committee to examine historic subdivisions and look at the history of the subdivisions that we have here in Alloway. I did quite a bit of research on old Alloway, and looking at the predecessor subdivision to Green and Broman, which is from Mission Avenue to 172. And the original plat for Green and Broman, which would be Old Alloway, was originally platted in 1893 and recorded as the original plat of Alloway. And that was supposed to be a city of Alloway, an industrial city. And a department Depression hit in the 1890s, ended the gay 90s, and they went bankrupt, and a couple of the partners replatted that, got rid of the industrial site, which is now the prison. One industrial building still there, the North Building, and they replatted it to include become a modern suburb, and that's what we have today. So I'd encourage us to look at this committee to look at the subdivision level instead of trying to cobble together historic districts. Look at the history of the subdivisions that were platted before 1960. Thanks.
Any other public appearances? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 7, discussion of properties to consider further review of historic significance. And I know we discussed this at our last meeting, and I think we decided it might be a good idea to have some kind of a, like a running log or a kind of a list of buildings or neighborhoods, you know. And I know Jim had mentioned several that are in our minutes from last week. And I know, Steve, you brought up the part of the Murphy Coles estate that was not considered. So, you know, I think we wanted to just revisit this issue every time to see if there are any new items that anybody has thought of. Now, Jim just mentioned, you know, subdivisions and history and the plats. And so if we have that identified in a record somewhere. I don't know if we have it other than in our minutes. Does anybody have anything to add or anything they want to discuss about this topic?
I did bring the addresses for the properties we talked about.
Pardon?
I did bring the addresses.
Okay.
I took a look at the minutes and I did gather the addresses the dates of that the homes were built is available online through our assessor, assessordata.com. What's recorded as the Cotton House was actually what I call the Cotton Kids House. Not the original Cotton House is over at Heritage Hill. This next generation after that would be located at 2521 Webster Avenue. And that was part of the original plat of Alloway that I just talked about. And so that wasn't included in Green and Vroman because that had been sold by the guys that went bankrupt. So that house was built in the 1890s, and that's currently the Getchow House. That was a 5-acre parcel. It has vinyl siding now, but that was built in the 1890s. They still have the cistern. They had indoor plumbing and electricity and all the great modern conveniences, central heat. So that was a unique house. But because it had an addition for a handicapped family member put on, I don't think that it qualified as individually eligible, but that's one that would be locally eligible because of its age and significance. The Murphy Coles estate, the main house was the one that was individually eligible. The servants' quarters or the caretaker's house, or I don't know if it was the chauffeur's house, whosever house it was, on the corner of Iroquois and Ducharme. That address is 246 Iroquois, and both the Murphy Coles property at 304 Braeburn and 246 Iroquois were built in 1920 by Burns and Schober, and those are featured at the Neville Museum at their display right now. So those would be good ones, would be to add the caretaker's house, because that looks more similar to what it looked like 100 years ago than the Braeburn house does, because its setting is still correct. The Greiling house is individually eligible. That's going to be nominated. But right next door is the Hagemeister house. Again, the Hagemeister house was built, the Greiling house was built in 1920, same time as the Murphy Coles. The Hagemeister house, which was the brewer, he's one of the brewer's kids. They built the house next door. That looks exactly the way that it was built in 1932, and that one's that was built by, designed by Burns and Schober, the architects. That one's featured down at Neville also right now. So because it's featured at Neville, the Hagmeister House should be included in, and the house next door, which was designed by the same guys, the Greiling House, which is now Jack Brusky's house, that's individually eligible, and that's the one that's being nominated. The Eric Weiss House is in the same category as in the original City of Alloway plant that was sold by the guys that went bankrupt. That house is still there on Green Avenue. That house was built, it shows, in the 1890s, according to our assessor, 1898, and that address was 336 Green Avenue, and that looks to me very, very similar from the front as it would have looked, you know, 120 years ago.
Is that Is that the house that has a red facade?
Right, yeah. That's it. So those are, this is just a good start, just starting with the ones in Old Alloway, mm-hmm. And understanding that Old Alloway was originally planted in the gay 90s. They went bankrupt. They replanted it, reinvented the subdivision, and it became a modern trolley subdivision suburb, and that's how we ended up with what we got now. But I do have these addresses, and I'll leave them with Trevor. He can take
them. I was going to suggest that you leave it, that, you know, we have it, what you said, recorded, but also if we have that, then Trevor could... Sorry, Trevor, I'm giving you more work. If you can add that to our list of properties and homes
and we have information about. Maps where you can see that when they were recording Green and Roman, that the original maps from the original town of Alloway were excluded because they had been sold in the 1890s.
So, do you?
I do have those maps for you.
Do you have any dates for the Brenner House?
Oh, The Brenner House is also featured. That was one of the ones that I wanted to do on Oakwood Avenue. The Brenner House would also be built in the 1920s, but that's featured also down at Neville Museum right now at the Burns and Schober exhibit. very, very, with the exception of it doesn't have a clay tile roof, very, very similar to the Murphy Coles estate and the Greiling House. So it has the Mediterranean window style, which was very popular in the 1920s. And, you know, talking about the Mediterranean style in the 1920s, my belief is that we were trying to imitate what was going on out in Hollywood, Southern California, San Diego. We had the city planner for Green Bay, John Nolan, was also the city planner for San Diego, and he bought a lot of his ideas. He also designed the park system for the state. So he bought a lot of his ideas from California here, and it became very popular. And one of the rubs against the Alloway is we had a very famous guy here who went Hollywood, and his name was Curly Lambeau. When Curly Lambeau went Hollywood, you know, you can see it in the housing stops, and that's kind of what was going on at the time. So the Mediterranean style and the 1920s and the 1930s style homes, that's really what set the tone for Alloway for the next 100 years.
Thank you. I think it's good to have that background whenever we can. You know. Any other
interesting thing on the one more thing on the Brenner House, which was on Oakwood Avenue, they had they were again wealthiest people and some of the wealthiest in Brown County. They had a candy shop on Washington Street down by the Meyer Theater, and there's still remnants of the building's still there, and they had a sign painted on the side of the building that said, "Chew gum every day and be happy." And if you go down to the farmer's market on Saturday, you can still see that sign there. And they went bankrupt in the 1920s with the crash. They took all their equipment, and they built a candy factory behind their house in Kellogg's Woods. And Steve was familiar with it. You want to tell us a little bit about what the candy factory in Kellogg's Woods on Oakwood Avenue was like?
Well, my parents actually bought that property, and so the candy factory was in my backyard. My father tore it down.
Oh.
And I wish you wouldn't have. But I still remember as a kid. I think I was in like 12 years old when we moved there, and I used to play inside the candy factory.
Was there anything inside?
No, it actually had a concrete floor, and there was a basement below, so it was kind of neat. The foundation is still there.
So that house today is still known as the Candy House, and a couple doors down, another great house that we have is called the Gingerbread House. So a lot of the houses in Alloway have names for them because they're kind of unique. So those are the other things would be kind of document the different named houses that we have.
Great, thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, I guess we'll go on to item number 8, update of the DOT Highway 57 Riverside Drive project. Do we know anything more, Trevor?
Well, there was a meeting last night with the DOT and the village board. They did make a few decisions regarding some of the aesthetic things along Riverside Drive. One of the things was they do want to include a sidewalk from Strong Bay Road all the way up to 172. Another one was they decided not to include bike accommodations on the length of the road, and instead use that extra 2 feet on each side to narrow, when possible, widen the terraces between the road and the sidewalk, where possible, or even use a commercial style sidewalk, where possible. So, and what is the third thing you're going to have? They did discuss the fence, the Murphy Coles Estate fence. Because that's private property, really the DOT and Bush can't dictate what happens there. They have spoken with 4 or 5 landowners that the fence lies on, and those 4 that they were able to speak with have agreed to have the DOT build a replica fence. So that fence will be torn down, but a replica one will be in its place. There's 2 cottonwoods that will be impacted for sure. Some of the oaks probably will be saved. They're going to do their best to save.
So how much further back is the fence getting moved, or is it in about the same location?
They didn't indicate how, if it's going to be moved back or anything. I don't know. I think part of the what they need to determine is, as the bike lanes have been removed, what that impact's all going to be.
Okay. Well, there's still one side of the roadway that has bike lane, right? Or no bike lane.
I thought they had to have a bike lane.
If Trans 75, which was the state pulled out of requirements and funding, so then you don't have to follow it for the state funding aspect, but they still have to discuss this with the federal highway because of the federal money involved.
Okay.
And where did you say the sidewalk is going? To from where to 172?
Stambaugh?
Stambaugh. It's a couple of...
Bicycle down a country.
It's like down by Dairy Queen.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's not going to be any sidewalk down, you know, down on Riverside by, like, Iroquois and all that then, or?
Well, On the east side.
On the east side.
But not on the side with those homes whose properties and driveways are right up next to the roadway.
Well, then that fence is going to have to get pushed back, don't you think?
Yes, it will.
Some, yeah.
Yeah.
It just about has to be.
Patio doors.
Right.
It's privacy wall.
Yeah. Interesting. So does that mean that there won't be any bike lane, or does it just mean that their proposal will not contain a bike lane that still has to be approved or disproved by the federal government? Or how close are they to being able to say we're not going to have a bike lane, or are they there already?
From the board standpoint, no bike lanes.
No bike lane. And so that's pretty final.
Yeah.
And the board has the authority to, they're empowered to make that call now.
That's their recommendation, to not include bike lanes.
Yeah. Is there any sense that the recommendation would be overturned or not accepted? I guess you don't know what's going to happen going down the road to the next level.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. I guess we'll move on to item number 9, approval of recommendation letter to the Wisconsin Historical Society. And we have a letter that was written by Trevor to Joe DeRose, which we have in our package, which identifies specifically what we've been discussing, the Miramar Drive Residential District and the Roger Munahan House and the Grayling home on Webster. And we can read this. I don't know that we need to read it out loud, unless there are any questions. The status now is that going forward for the next month, then Trevor, you'll be collecting the official bid for those two vendors that we've selected.
I think we might have jumped the.
Yeah, I think that's item 10.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't turn the page. Okay. So, do I have the recommendation letter? Yes, I do. Okay. Sorry. That's what happens when you do on both sides, right? So I'll start over. This is for the... maybe I'm confused. What recommendation letter are we discussing here?
This came as a result of at the last meeting. You read about the letter that you and Brad received from Peggy Berrigan from them. And it was kind of unclear what they were asking from us.
Mm-hmm.
And I followed up with Peggy Berrigan. And she said a lot of communities don't respond. She said, and you don't have to, but other communities, you know, write a letter or something along those lines, and then the committee will recommend that, and now that will satisfy a recommendation. So I chose, we don't have to write a letter, but I chose that option. So this letter is just essentially saying that we recognize that these homes or these buildings were nominated, and we support that nomination. This would be in case, I know we were the ones in charge of the nomination, but this would be in case someone else nominated a building. It's kind of a safety net that the municipality is always aware of what's going on.
We're talking about the pump house, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Pump house and the
water.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, I should have given Brad acknowledgement for writing that one. I just saw your name on the bottom. Okay. So do we need a motion to officially approve this?
Yes.
We do. So I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve.
And I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. Now we'll move on to item number 10, which I turned the page too fast for. That's my excuse. Item number, oh, there, I had it. Never mind. Okay. So, this is the road, or the letter that was drafted and written by Trevor, identifying Miramar Drive and Roger Minahan House and the Grayling House, and lays out the timeline. And Trevor, do you have anything to add that we should know about?
Nothing particularly, no.
So the process now going forward is that you'll receive the official bids, and then you gave us a timeline that said in September you'd submit the estimates with the letter of intent.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. And then by November, we'll officially apply for the grant.
That's correct. Yeah. And this is really just so the state knows what kind of amounts they're going to need, who are going to be requested.
Right. Are we putting ourselves at a disadvantage by having such a large spread in the two estimates? If we go to bid, I would imagine that $8,367 is going to win. So, do we need the two?
You technically only need one.
My concern is just if they would come in higher, you know, maybe. It's up to you. I'm not an expert in this. You tell me.
Well, they're both state-approved contractors.
Sure.
Looking at the estimates, it's hard to tell why they came in, so far apart. The only thing really I could guess at, and it's just a guess, would be that UWM might have more students working on. But I see your point, and we're only required to submit one.
You have to submit one with a letter of intent?
Correct.
One estimate?
Correct.
So I think that they prefer two, though.
They prefer two, but one is required. So I could, if you guys want, I could certainly take that second estimate out.
It's up to you. Again, I'm just asking a question that we're not going to get more than 17.5 in this case, which is probably all right. But if we go to bid and don't get that 17.5, we know that we're probably going to end up with a higher cost at some legacy in the future than what they provided us now.
There's no reason to think that we'd get a less qualified product from the lower bid. Is there? I mean, you're comfortable with the quality of their work, and it's such a big difference. I mean, it's twice as Legacy's twice as expensive.
Something's different.
Yeah, it just seems like something would be different, and if we can't identify what's different, then it's hard to feel okay. And I agree with. Well, it's kind of hard to feel okay with putting both of them out there if we're not sure why they're so different.
What I can do is I can research that further and bring this back on the August meeting with a little more clear answer. The only caveat with that would be that this is due in September.
Yeah, I'm not trying to delay this.
And it has to go through the board. So that timeline certainly could work as long as we have quorum in August.
Either way, I expect that this letter is going to get submitted and approved tonight, regardless of its format and if these two bids are in there or if they're not. And it should move forward now. So I think that staff can make a decision strategically as to what's going to position us best to get the most amount of money that we need to finish the study. So I don't know how everybody else feels, but I trust you guys can figure it out, put us in the best position possible.
Yeah, I just thought we should have that discussion a little bit here about why there is a difference, so we're aware of the fact that it is real and it is a difference, and that you know, we trust that you guys will make the right choice. And I wouldn't want to put us at risk of getting into August and maybe not having a quorum, not being able to move forward with it. You know.
How have we submitted in the past? I think the last couple rounds there was a good deal of variation in the prices as well.
Yeah.
Looking back at this, the nominations that are currently being considered, I think we had Legacy in another group, and Legacy again was one of the higher ones. But yeah, because Brad and I will discuss that. Just going to make that determination.
I guess what we're saying is that it's a concern, but not enough to warrant making any change in the process going forward. And you'll do the right thing, and I'm okay with it too. I don't know if anybody else in the committee has another opinion or wants to offer one.
I mean, I would think a lot of the difference is in the wages.
Yeah, and that was mentioned, yeah, because they might have student help.
Right.
Yeah.
Remembering going through the estimates, another thing was the mileage factor as well. For whatever reason, UW-Milwaukee was able to use a lower cost per mile. I don't think it equated to a huge difference, but that was another thing I noticed.
So I think we're in need of a motion to approve this letter of intent also, aren't we?
So, a motion.
Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 11, next meeting date, August 26th, and potential agenda items. It's August 26th. I feel like an okay date for everybody except...
Yeah, I might not be here.
You're not sure.
Yeah.
But probably not. Do you have any items that... Does anybody on the committee have an item that needs to be discussed, or Trevor or Brad, to be on the agenda for August?
Not right offhand, but on a side note, I don't know if it would be... in our best interest, and see if we can try to round up a person or two to go down to the nomination on the 28th. So if anyone has that interest, let us know. It might be a nice learning experience and get a chance to meet some of those on board. So
the peer general.
I would think it would be a good thing. One of the biggest reasons I say that is I wrote a grant several years ago, 2006, that didn't rate very high locally, but when it went down to the state, they thought it was one of the best projects that was on the list and couldn't understand why it wasn't rated higher and asked for someone from the village if they were here to speak on it, no one was there.
Mm.
So... it's just one of those things that...
they kind of lost the momentum to capitalize on.
Right, so we lost out and we had to wait 4 more years for the grant.
Yeah, yeah. How does the committee feel? Does anybody see their way clear to being able to go there? That's August 28th, right? And it's in Madison.
Right, and it's something that we would take a village vehicle, so there's no reason for it. And either Trevor or I would drive.
So one of the two of you would go?
I would think so.
And it would be good if one of us could go also.
Let's
leave it open and maybe we could think about it. You know,
that would be a Friday?
It's
the 26th is Wednesday.
So it's Friday, yeah.
I could possibly attend.
We hope to be putting more stuff in front of them in the near future, so.
It would be a good opportunity to see how the process is working so we know.
Mm-hmm.
What to expect when we do it next time.
And you might be able to pick up some in their discussions if they're talking about a particular property, and we can do a little research as far as finding out what each one of these properties are that they're going to be discussing, and you know, find key points that they might be saying, well, this is the reason why or is it not to approve it. So
it would sure help our knowledge base going forward for when we do this next time around.
Proposals.
I should have mentioned that earlier. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. The only concern I have about myself, I mean, I might be a logical candidate because I'm not working these days, but I'm leaving the next day on vacation, and I don't know how that would work. We're fine with me, but I'm not the final say.
just tell her you got nominated.
I got nominated.
Forced into it.
Bobby, do you think you'd be able to?
Yeah, I can check my calendar.
Check.
Fridays are usually pretty clear for me.
Check and get back to Trevor. I'll do the same and see. You know, see how my schedule is, because it'd take a whole day by the time you drive down there. You know. Which is fine. That's a great thing to do. Okay. Good. Anything else? I guess we're ready for item number 12, adjournment. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion?
I'll second.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. We're adjourned. Thank you. I'd really like to go to that, too.
Well, by all means, go if you are available.
But I'm not so sure.
I could be a backup.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, if there's a car coming, it's awful.
Yeah. I'd prefer to grab some. Yeah, that's right. Make a day of it.
Why did Barb resign? Just too busy, or
she had a personal reason. You know. Yeah, so I don't know.
How do you shut that down?
I think I just maybe flipped that a little bit. Thank you.